We have a ton this week, so buckle up.
Hope everyone enjoyed their spring breaks. Perfect time to settle in and listen to the 8th edition of the second season.
Dude, you didn't even get it right. This is the 19th episode.
We literally 19th. Just talked about it. You said it was the 18th episode.
No, that was last week's. Anyways, guys. Whatever. Here we are. Thank you for listening, of course. We are your hosts, Grant Bess.
And Samuel Nathan Jackson.
Ooh, Nathan. Nice. We're going to talk about a few things today. Of course, the Mountain West Conference Tournament of Basketball just ended, which came off of spring break. Utah legislature ended last Thursday. And, of course, the US-USA elections, which we covered in our last episode, have now completed. Results have been announced, and they have started meeting the new officers. So let's cover that. First up, let's talk about spring break. What did you do, Sam?
Well, Grant and I were both in the D.C. area for spring break. Grant, you were with your family, your parents, correct?
I was.
And this was your first D.C. experience, was it?
Yes, I loved
it. Give us a little, short little recap. How was it?
Flying in was hell because of the nor'easter.
Grant was frantically texting me.
I was.
Grant, this is the cutest story.
Stuck in Orlando. Very cute. Pushed to Baltimore. Taxied from Baltimore.
Grant was very concerned that my flight was going to get delayed or canceled.
I'm a good friend, okay?
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it. Grant also brought me Buffalo Wild Wings a couple weeks ago, so it's another cute little Grant story.
We're becoming closer friends. Bridging gaps across the aisle.
Luckily, though, my flight was not delayed. The windstorms had stopped. But what was your, out of everything you did in D.C., what was your favorite little visit that you did?
Ooh, so hard. Smithsonian. So many good museums. I mean, favorite museum, which I already knew, was Museum of American History.
It's pretty great.
Covered everything.
Star-Spangled Banner.
So cool. Yeah. President's collections, First Lady's dresses.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, world. Every war you can imagine, super cool artifacts. Like, that was my jam.
Yeah.
The Holocaust was emotionally impactful, absolutely. Of course. I'm going to say, though, like, the biggest surprise... Well, okay. Yeah, the biggest surprise for me was the National Portrait Gallery. Hmm. We went to that one twice because it's the only one open past 5 o'clock or 5:30. So we would kind of end two of our nights there. Yeah. We saw the new Michelle and Barack portraits, absolutely, that have recently been installed, as well as all of them. I loved that because it's like, as a history major, I see these pictures of Washington and Jefferson and Polk and, I mean, right, you name them, all of them, because most of these portraits are some of the only paintings there. So anytime they're referred to, these paintings are there, and it was just cool to see the originals.
Yeah, absolutely.
I loved that. I also had a chance to go to the Battle of Manassas, or First Bull Run, depending on which side of the Civil War you claim. Manassas Battlefield Park, and see the site of those. I thought that was really cool. That's where Stonewall Jackson famously made his stand. The Confederate general, he's known for that. He's got a huge statue there. And then it was cool to see Sherman's statue by the White House. And so I'm pretty big on the American Civil War.
Fascinating.
Even maybe more than the Revolution. I love the French Revolution, but I'm big on the American Civil War. The Battle of the Brothers, whatever you want to call it. I think it's really cool to see how that all played out. And D.C., of course, was very close to Richmond. So a lot of the early battles on the Eastern Theater happened right south of D.C. So I didn't even get to see everything I wanted to go to see. But I got to see Arlington, and I got to see a lot of cool stuff. So that was really, really nice. And then I flew into L.A., spent a couple days with my friends. We actually stumbled upon the Pan American Beach Handball Tournament, which all the national teams, like the Olympic teams, were just hanging on the beach playing. There wasn't no fences. There was no tickets. We just sat down, got some pictures with the men and women's team, talked to them for a while, ate food at the street fair with them later that night. It was kind of a pretty cool experience. National teams just to chill. Went to the Mountain West Tournament, which we'll talk about here in a second. Got the chance to see the game we lost.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Then drove to St. George, drove to Provo. Kind of busy week.
Yeah. Good. Well, glad you had a good time, Grant. As you mentioned, the Mountain West Conference Tournament started off extremely well for Utah State. Won the first two games. Beat Boise State in a shocking upset. Everyone was just going crazy on social
media.
3 points?
3 points.
Beat them by 3 points.
I think so.
You know, it was a – no one could have foreseen us winning that game.
They were ranked two, maybe the hardest we were core. Ranked seven.
Right, we were the seventh seed. So that was a good win. Predictably, however, we got blown out the next night. by New Mexico, I believe it was.
Yep, UNM. It was. I've been describing it to everyone as there's no way of describing being at that game other than like it felt like we were at a home game for them. Like yeah, they had probably a ratio of 1-10 or more in fans. They travel really well. They were very, very loud. A lot of alumni, not even that many students. And even as much as we had Michael Scott Peters there, we had Jake.
Michael Scott Peters pretty loud.
We had quite a few fans.
President Cockett was there, wasn't she?
I didn't see our new athletics VP there, but I did see a lot of other people there who do support our athletics teams. President Cockett was there. I ran into her at the gate. It was cool. But it was kind of sad, to be honest. Like, we got raked for
that
game.
Well, we were up by 8 points in the first half early on, and they went on, like, what was it, like a 29-2 run or just something outrageous.
It was just like we were down by 18 the whole game, it felt like, and
it was insane.
Painful to watch. But Sam Merrill did great. Kobe did great.
Sam Merrill was on the all-tournament team.
Yeah.
So hopefully, and obviously the big news, head coach Tim Duryea.
Fired,
relieved
Sunday.
Of his duties.
Yeah.
So the head coaching search begins.
He still had a year, which means he will be paid the $270,000 that he's still owed for next year's contract. Which, if you've been listening, a good nice relation to that means, had we approved the full $8 fee increase, all of that money would have paid off his contract. Not to say that it still isn't paying for that contract, but.
Less of our money is going
less
to
of your
pay
money is going. That's
for
where
Tim
Duryea for
sitting
it
on his couch at home.
Yep.
So
who knows, though? You
way,
might be
way
paying
to go
for Matt Wells' finisher next year.
We'll see. So. Moving on here, we had our USA elections wrapped up last week. Some pretty hotly contested races, some interesting results. Grant, do you want to go ahead and lead off?
Yeah. Here? So most of the all the unopposed senators – returners came back, Eric, Sierra, Deidre, all secured their spots. Sierra was able to beat the write-in candidate that did go onto the ballot for the final elections. The other two didn't face really anything. Cameron Pitt, our business senator now, won that race over Courtney Aller. McKenna Allred pulled through with our college on Chass. Dexon Lake took the agricultural spot, and Abby Longacre took the science spot. I think that's everything. Oh, and Mason Kemp pulled natural resources.
Unopposed. As well.
And then EC, our own Samuel Nathan Jackson here.
The one and only.
Pulled off an unopposed run for student advocate. He will now be over RGRC. Daria Griffith as well, unopposed for student alumni. Ali Haas for executive vice president. Anything else unopposed? Is there another
unopposed? No, I don't think so.
And then service via vice president, we had Jenna.
Jenna Stoker, that's right.
Jenna Stoker won.
She won by a pretty...
Get stoked
for service.
She beat out Jackson for the service spot. Joshua Johnson took the...
Arguably the most hotly contested race, arguably.
Possibly.
Bannon
Greer took... the spot for the athletics vice president, campus rec.
Fear the Greer.
I do fear.
Wow.
I don't know if there's any other ones. And then obviously, in an upset of both of our opinions, Jaron Hunsaker took the president position.
I wouldn't say it's a political upset, but it's upsetting to us.
It was upsetting
to
us personally. Right. Our friend Braden O'Brien, guest a few weeks ago, did not get that spot. Which brings us to some interesting topics with the election. So our last episode had some hot things associated with it. One of them was what we said about the business race, myself specifically. I'm sorry that it came across the way that it did. We had some hot fire on Twitter. I didn't intend for it to be sexist. Let me take full credit here. I do think that being attractive in any race helps candidates. When we have photos on the ballot, in our elections meeting yesterday we had, as one of the issues we brought up, I would like to see pictures taken off the ballots, or at least sunk into the submenu, so when people have to click on the bio to see the photo. In the business race, for example, it would have been nice if you've got five guys running and you don't remember which one gave you a free cafe gift card or something like that, you would be able to click on the bios and see who it was. But I don't know. I think photos are inappropriate.
They don't appear on any federal elections or anything like that.
And I think being something different, having something that puts you out there, helps. Courtney had good support because there's a lot of great women in the College of Business, and she was able to pull through the finals. I honestly expected her to win against Cameron, but Cameron pulled it off. I don't even know what the vote count. Do you know?
It was Cameron won by about 14 votes, I think.
Yeah.
Extremely, really extremely, close. Extremely close.
Both qualified candidates. Business Council, this was actually kind of an interesting one. So they Business Council is getting collapsed with Partners in Business. So if you're on the Business Council next year, unlike my Chas Council, which are all bleeding heart, good people who choose to serve our synagogue college, if you work in the Tower of Babel over there, you're going to be paid. Business Council will
Shots
be all
fired.
Paid positions.
Unbelievable.
So it's not going to be
glad
volunteer
that, glad that Coke
anymore.
Money is going to
It's going somewhere. That's why you're paying so much per credit, so that you can have that many paid for officers. It'll be a very, but you know what, at the same time, it'll be an extremely effective, they're telling those kids 15 to 20 hours, it's gonna be an extremely effective council. I'll say it here first, maybe it'll be a model for other colleges. I personally think that Chas Council could do a lot more if we just had a little more resources to work with. It's hard to do that when you've got a lot of volunteer people and a budget that's less than $2,000. You can't do much over a year, so
absolutely.
Who's to say many things could happen, but
yeah, I think while Grant and I are both somewhat disappointed that our boy Braden did not win, it's safe to say we both hold high hopes for Jaren Hunsaker. Hope he does a great job. I personally looking forward to working with him. He's an extremely nice guy. We met with him. We had our first meeting after the elections announcement way back a couple weeks ago. So really looking forward to next year. Get those GRC applications in. Looking to have a lot of people on the council next year, so should be a good time.
Good way to cover your ass. anyways,
and Grant will not be here to call me out on my BS. So I really need people.
If you
here.
Have a suggestion of who our new host to replace, me
yeah, that's you know that's a good. We
tweet
can
at us.
We'll you know we'll be talking about this.
We might not listen to your suggestions.
Yeah, we might
a,
not. We might throw
nice
out your
thought.
Suggestion, but. Over the next couple months, we are searching for a replacement for Grant for next school year. We're planning on continuing the podcast. Grant will be deployed. Props to him for serving our country. Much appreciated. But looking for someone, preferably
sure, an
on the
eagle caw behind
our, preferably on the right side of the aisle somewhat, so we have some sort of a opinion, but open to any and all suggestions. As always, if you're looking to come on as a guest, let us know. Kind of moving on here, the Utah legislative session wrapped up last Thursday. 45 days, not every bill was gotten to, of course. Interns are slowly returning back to campus, returning back to Logan. Grant, give us the rundown of the session, some things that we should discuss here today.
There is a lot. I think, so notably, some of them didn't pass. There was a big one we've talked about. Representative Kim Coleman had one that would change how sexual assault is being reported to basically, if the university were to find out that an individual had been involved with multiple sexual assault accusations, they would then take it to a police level. I think it had good intentions. But the obvious concern was it would be with or without the permission of the reporter.
Yeah.
It would take it out of the Title IX level or the college university level, and it would take it to the legal level. And there's a lot of conversation that victims need to be in control of the reporting process. I do understand that. I guess the good intention was just that hypothetically – individual A could sexually assault five different individual Bs, you know, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. And the university technically has to treat every one of those accusations as a separate accusation.
Yeah.
And those victims would not know that there was other victims. And, it, you know, it's just one of those situations where, like with Tory Greene, there's four people or six people. You couldn't – hypothetically, it could be a good legal case.
Yeah.
But the university has privacy. You know, I think it was good to shut down this bill. Victims need to be in control. I just wish there's maybe a mechanism to bridge that gap, that people could know if there was other accusations against the same person.
Right.
Because that would maybe do the opposite. Maybe that would help encourage people.
Yeah.
You know, maybe if it was you have control of this, but P.S., low-key under the table, there's a bunch of shit on this kid, so maybe you should take it to a public level. I don't know. I don't know if there's a legal solution. I'm pleased that they kept it in the control of the victim. So.
Yeah, they had, I believe it was UCASA, the Utah Coalition Against Sexual Assault, came out against the bill, as well as many other people I know on campus, myself included, who are opposed to it. So probably a good thing that it died. And we, you know, sexual assault will never cease to be an important topic
on
college campuses.
Yeah, so this, we had a bunch of different stuff. This legislature, we had a legislator quit real quick under sexual assault violation or accusations. And then, you know, we had, what's his name? Vickers had that weird run-in with the hotel, some prostitute coming to his room. A lot of senators have now announced they won't be running again. Senator Jim DeBacchus.
RIP.
The only LGBT representative Democrat or person, period, now plus strong Democrat.
The scramble begins taking his seat. I know there are a lot of people, who have shown interest in his seat. He's now being rumored to run for Salt Lake City mayor. Against,
really?
Oh, yeah, that's the big rumor.
Against that, Jan, huh?
Against Jackie.
Jackie.
Biskupsi. I don't know why you said
Jackie
Jan.
Jackie Biskupsi,
yeah.
Interesting. Where's their varied opinion? Why? I feel like he would be one of her backers. That surprises me.
She's seen as pretty vulnerable right now in Salt Lake City. She's not.
Just because of how she's handled the Northeast Quadrant?
Homelessness, I think, is probably the biggest issue. And I think DeBacchus certainly, I'm not sure if he would win or not, but certainly.
Might throw it in.
He certainly, you know, wouldn't hurt him throw his hat in the ring. One of the biggest liberal names in Utah, if not the biggest, next to Ben McAdams. And I think, these are just rumors. Obviously, he hasn't said anything, and the election is still a couple years off.
Years? Oh, yeah.
I think
it's a 4-year term.
Yeah, I think she gets reelected in 2020. So
interesting.
But that's.
So besides that, you have other Republicans. Speaker Greg Hughes is out, meaning that we'll have a new Speaker of the House next session.
I believe he's running for governor, correct?
He hasn't announced anything. So
I mean that
likely
hasn't announced. Okay.
He'll probably run against Spencer Cox. He'll likely run against. I've heard Jason John Reyes could be throwing in. So you have a lot of people.
Jason in the House.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jason Chaffetz is a good chance. So it depends.
Republican primary could be messy.
Yeah, those are really strong,
very, very
strong,
messy.
Strong competitors for that seat. Representative Noel, as you mentioned earlier, the one who was behind the Trump highway. He's
one of the most conservative
Kanab. He is
Republicans.
Out. I didn't realize he was from Kanab, and then I got even more bugged because the Trump highway goes right through Kanab, and I'm like, dude, you were just trying to keep a freaking name for yourself.
Yeah.
You were trying to name a road in your own town before you left. And even the revised
Smart
bill,
move,
which
man.
Cut it down, still had the road in Kanab and then the road by Arches. And I was like, oh, you suck. Anyways, we're going to move on to some other things. So taxes, money, a bunch of stuff happened. This is usually one of the most important things. We're in a conservative state. They try to be light on taxes, so whenever they get raised, it's pretty controversial.
Absolutely.
They agreed to a 10-cent a gallon tax hike for gasoline. That's all going to go to education. It was some of these things are they gave a ton of money to education that wasn't expected. The reason that happened was because Our Schools Now is a ballot initiative that would raise the income tax as well as I think the sales tax in Utah for education money. And it would all
I didn't know it was
education.
A sales tax as well.
It's at least income.
I don't know. It's definitely at least income.
The
tax,
legislature basically threw a bunch of money that way.
To kind of
temper
it.
People believe that it's to make sure that ballot initiative doesn't go through. Yeah. I still think it could. I'm hoping it does. Utah needs to get its asses together for education.
Look at you, Grant. What a hot take. No, that is a not. Hot take.
I'm
from
an education major.
But to raising taxes, though, man. Wow.
I just think that...
By almost a full percent.
I think there's some important things, and sometimes we need to appreciate it. I would love for that money to come from other places.
Shedding a tear.
Straight up, I'd love for it to come from other places. But there's always somewhere else. Somewhere else.
Off the money tree. From Uncle Sam's pocket.
Anyways.
Vote for Uncle Sam.
Different sales things went into that bill. It was considered like the biggest compromise. It kind of got thrown together right at the last minute.
Yeah.
Single taxes for corporations, like property tax got a 5-year freeze, meaning that if your property tax goes up, you will pay more. Or if your property value goes up, you'd still pay more. But the rate, the percentage of property tax won't go up for 5 years. Which to me, I'm like, how solid is that? If next year's legislature wants to get rid of a 5-year freeze, who knows? I just every time they're like, we won't do this for a while. I'm like, how do you know?
Right.
They passed a resolution saying that opioids, Sean Reyes will now join other states in suing the opioid industry. A similar thing happened to tobacco, famously in the 70s.
Opioids is up there next to porn as far as a public.
It's higher.
Crisis.
It's higher.
Is it really?
We've never sued the porn industry. This is authorizing Sean Reyes to sue.
No, everyone. I want everyone to tweet at GOP Todd with Todd Weiler. See if he'll sue.
Interestingly, did you hear about West Virginia's porn thing? I think it's West Virginia. Let me see here. There's a state back east. It's either West Virginia or something.
I know that there was another state that declared it a public health crisis.
No. Worse. They will require, it would require you to pay your internet service provider to have access to explicit sites. It'd be a one-time fee, but they would otherwise be completely blocked. Anything explicit would be blocked. So you'd have to actually pay to access that
good old
realm,
government intervention.
And then... the service providers, if they don't block, like there'd basically be like this master list or something.
Yeah.
And if they don't block sites that get submitted to them, they can face like $500,000 fines.
Insane.
So it's really interesting. There was a pretty good argument, I think. The argument was quite simply that like it would also authorize, I'll say this, this is important. It would also bring in greater protections against like child pornography.
Right.
Because when you paid for it, you wouldn't get access to those sites. And it ties your name to, like, visiting. It would actually increase some of that. But I don't know if it's gone through, but it is probably the most controversial porn bill, if you will. Not in Utah, but somewhere else. A lot of surface-level things went through with suicide this session. Yeah. There's, like, a crisis team that got put together. There's a study that was paid for last year that put a report together. Suicides have gone up in the last year.
Is Capitol Hill now smoke free? Did they ever get to that?
No, they freaking failed it on the reason of. Hey, this is actually one of my biggest ones. Yeah. So they failed it on, they don't want visitors to feel unwelcome. The idea is if you had foreign dignitaries or whatever.
Wow.
And like their Wi-Fi, going back to porn for a second, their Wi-Fi is notorious for being crazy blocked.
Yeah.
On Capitol Hill, to the point that all the reporters complain about it because they want to do a research about like marijuana, for example, and they can't even pull up like nationally syndicated websites, like large websites that talk about marijuana, like Normal, NORML, you know.
It's funny that they don't want to make visitors feel unwelcome, but at the same time we're lowering the BAC content to 0.05%.
Support that one.
They're also Zion Curtain. Well, what is it called now? What do they have it?
So the nickname is, I think, currently the Zion Moat.
Yes, that's what it is, the moat.
Because there's no physical barrier. So that law actually got loosened a little bit. Smaller restaurants now have a little bit more freedom.
They don't now have to say this is a restaurant.
Yes, all the restaurant signs.
The most ridiculous rule I have. That's That's crazy. Sorry. Go ahead.
So yeah, so they got rid of the restaurant signs. The bar signs will stay up. The bar signs, yeah, they'll say this is a bar, not a restaurant.
It's like from The Office when Dwight says it is your birthday. Very similar.
But the bar signs will also include a little bit more information. I think it actually is better than the old signs because it'll be more words on the paper, but it will actually clarify like that means the more percent. The point is that these signs will probably get a little bit more solidified. They won't look like tacky pieces of paper taped to the front. The legislature also basically said we're not getting rid of the bar signs. So I think a lot of these bars that have been keeping them intentionally keeping them in as crappy copy paper to mock the system will probably class it up. The restaurant ones will go away. Importantly, the 0.05 BAC that went through last year did not get changed. So that means it will go through on New Year's Eve this year. Lowering the blood alcohol content. That was a pretty big deal because...
Absolutely, it's a huge deal.
It was expected to get at least a little amended, and it did, because that bill was the one that dealt with these signs and stuff. So that bill did get amended, but not on the BAC level. Which brings us to an interesting point. It could still change. The legislators passed a bill this year that would allow them to call themselves into special session.
Interesting.
Previously, for a special session outside of these 45 days, the governor had to call it.
Yeah.
And they didn't like that difference. Executive check.
Executive action. Oh, man.
I mean, which makes sense. The U.S. Congress can call itself into session. Currently, only the governor can do so. The funny part about that is technically the governor could veto that. That bill.
However, so, no, I don't want to get up. I don't
they
want
usually
mention.
Throughout the summer they'll do what they call a veto. I was looking at 2013; they overturned two vetoes. So if too much gets vetoed, they'll likely call
convene.
There is a means for them to call a veto session to override a veto. And honestly, most things do get overridden. Very few bills pass in Utah as close votes, right?
Yeah.
Only a handful of, like the marijuana one a few years ago, only a handful of bills are ever even that close. For example, if the death penalty had moved forward this year, it probably would have been a close vote one way or the other. But very few are close. So the Republican supermajority can usually override whatever it wants, but they choose not to sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't want to completely mock Governor Herbert's position. But for example, concealed carry, constitutional carry, meaning you wouldn't need a concealed carry permit. Governor Herbert has vetoed twice, and they've never overridden it, even though they easily could have. So it's interesting the political moves they make. It's almost, like we've talked about before, running bills that they know won't pass. I think sometimes they pass these bills, and then the governor vetoes it, and they are like, well, he vetoed it. And it's like, well, if you really cared, like you guys definitely have a supermajority. You know what I mean? Like, it's interesting the political plays. They threw a bunch more money at homelessness, over $100 million that for affordable housing that hasn't previously been there. That's one thing Utah, as a Republican state, does pretty freaking good. Welfare and some of those things, not as much. Medicaid expansion has been one of the biggest talks.
Yeah.
Clearing that up. But homelessness, Salt Lake City has been famous the last 5 years for throwing a lot. They've thrown a lot to get in their programs. Operation Rio Grande is a co-op between Republican state and Jackie Biscupsy, Democratic mayor of Salt Lake. So we're doing pretty good there. Marijuana, we had a couple very weak bills go through that allows terminal patients within 6 months terminal, a doctor can authorize up to 15 of his or her patients, to try marijuana. And then there's a companion bill that... Oh my gosh, I thought we'd stopped recording and I was about to freak out. There's a companion bill that allows the state to grow marijuana, which makes us one of a handful of states that grows our own marijuana.
Excellent. Good to know. So we can do this research that's been so elusive.
The reason most states don't do it is actually because it puts us in the potential of getting sued by the federal government. Like Jeff Sessions could personally sue the state of Utah because the government is growing its marijuana. Yeah. Air quality, not much happened. Education, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of money got thrown Notably, Utah State got approved for our biology and natural resource building.
Shout out Neil Abercrombie.
We got, I've heard different
and
things.
The GRC.
I've heard first and second ranking. Regardless, it's probably going to get funded. The legislature, apparently, one of the reasons they helped pass it was, of course, the life science building is going up right now. And the BNR could basically be built immediately after. Because the construction equipment's already there, you've already got a construction team, you've already got a full construction yard, everything. They'll basically be able to finish one, move everything over, and renovate the life science building, which notably will also have an addition of like 2,000 square feet out the front towards west, out towards that grassy area that's currently in front of it. That would be like a proper lobby with seats and study areas, because right now, you literally walk into like the back end of an auditorium that's got
there's
a mural.
A couple of
it's
tables
kinda weird.
Out there, yeah.
Yeah, so they'd add a nicer
that's
lobby.
That's definitely some good news for USU.
Huge.
And you know what? You know what's next?
Yes.
You know what's next on the docket, son?
Our Chass
building.
That puts it as USU's priority
number
building.
One priority. New Chass building.
Notably.
Go freaking Chass.
Notably. Oh my gosh.
Let's kick Chass and get this new Chass building, man.
So, excited. I don't know. There's some other things that have gone through. Fireworks, they've shortened the days on that. That was really early in the session. You'll now only have, I think, a total of 5 days to buy fireworks instead of seven. Some of the aerials got banned. We had so many forest fires. They're just trying. They literally said that they think that the state could save, like, millions of dollars just by decreasing by one day on each side. So. That's an interesting
coming
one.
From a state where fireworks are completely illegal.
Are they?
In Maryland, you cannot buy fireworks.
Really? See, when I
people just
up,
go to Virginia and buy them and fire them off anyway.
When I was growing up as a kid, you couldn't do aerials at all. Those were illegal in Utah. Only since it was actually the first year I was up here, they re-legalized aerials. And now those are, I think, gone again. So it's interesting. Let's see. UHP will start enforcing the BAC, and there was a little bit of money allocated for that. Toll roads got approval, meaning UDOT can put toll roads in without legislative approval. The state already had the ability to do toll roads, but now UDOT doesn't have to come to the state.
They also got rid of quotas for...
Huge ones.
It's a very big deal. Police officers no longer have to... It's basically illegal for police departments to have quotas for their
and
officers.
And that's not just for speeding. That's for anything. Yeah. That's for alcohol violations. That's for youth tobacco violations. So anything. Like, it's pretty awesome to get rid of.
Absolutely.
Formally, there's no record of any state or any department in the state having a quota right now.
Of course not.
But the Fraternal Order of Police, which is kind of their police union, was like, BS. This is happening. And so... it's good the way they've situated it now. You'll actually a police officer would be able to like anonymously report his or her
numbers.
Department to the state, and they can be punished for it. So, there was a whole thing about 2-person recordings not being able to record individuals without their knowledge that failed. The Elliott's Church was a big one behind that. They decided not to tax streaming media like Spotify and Netflix, which was supposed to happen. Everyone thought that was a big tax hole that they were gonna come in. They got rid of non-compete contracts with media employees. I don't know. I'm trying to think what else. Martha Hughes Cannon statue will be replacing Philo Farnsworth in 2020.
RIP Philo. That was a little controversial. A little bit.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been. He's the inventor of the television, but arguably he invented it in Idaho or Utah. Beaver claims it. Idaho claims it. It's kind of a mess. There's not a lot else. I mean, those are a lot of huge ones. The gun bill that would have allowed the state, they call it a red flag initiative. That's what they're calling it on a nationwide scale. They didn't refer to it as that in Utah at all. But basically it was a bill that would have allowed the state to confiscate weapons as a temporary restraining order until due process could be done. That failed. That was pretty controversial. But then on the flip side of criminal justice, they did pass the, if you remember that nurse, Alex Wubbles, who refused to give the blood in Salt Lake.
Yes.
Super controversial.
Absolutely.
Went all over the nation.
Yeah.
That was a bipartisan bill with, I think, unanimous support. And that requires a full warrant. To get that and it basically puts all healthcare employees as immune to laws. Like, they couldn't be, you couldn't be arrested as a doctor or nurse for following the law as you interpret it. So it doesn't mean you have to, like, follow it perfectly, but, like, with things like this, the nurse should have never been arrested. If anything, it should have been, like, a hospital administrator, and even they shouldn't have been arrested. But all charges should have gone up the chain, not, you know, the pawns on the chessboard, if you will. Anyways, guys, this was a huge one. There is so much. Please follow the Utah State Legislature. A lot happened. Some stuff didn't. Death penalty, death with dignity didn't happen. Marijuana, the larger bills didn't happen.
You think next year, any action on
marijuana
next year? They
didn't change the tobacco age like I wanted it to.
I know.
The tampon tax never went through.
Hopefully next year we can get a soda tax going, you know.
Maybe.
Tax
probably
the fat
not.
People.
But yeah, there's just so many things that didn't happen this year. They have a limited time. They intentionally don't get to some bills, I guess.
Oh, absolutely.
But
yeah.
I don't know. I think that was a lot.
I think, Yeah, the clock is ticking down on marijuana. Whether if it's not next year, next 3 years, I think we'll see some significant
action. There's
a
ballot initiative. That's a big, important part. So this year, I think we have up to five ballot initiatives. There's two competing ballot initiatives. One's called Count My Vote, and one's called My Vote Matters or something like that. They're both similar sounding but opposite intentions. One eliminates the signature gathering and it takes it back just to the caucusing system that existed before 2014. One solidifies what the state legislature has decided, which is both in place.
Yeah.
And they're competing. So, like, if they both pass, I don't even know what happens. My mind explodes. Notably, a bill that would have stopped initiatives from going into effect immediately wasn't passed. Almost Democrats and Republicans were trying to get that one passed. And it was actually one of the voice of the people kind of things where people spoke up. Like, are you kidding me? You're not going to let a direct ballot initiative go into effect?
Direct ballot initiatives. I'm sorry. This is my hot take of the day. I am anti direct ballot initiatives. Absolutely. They're counterintuitive.
TLDR, Sam Jackson hates democracy.
Hate democracy. Well, I am
Democrat ever.
I'll say this. I'm a noted elitist. However, studies show that ballot initiatives are usually emotionally charged, coming from people who are completely uninformed on an issue. And they do. It's just it goes.
Marijuana
it's,
wouldn't be legal anywhere in the United States.
Okay,
without
fair
ballot
enough.
Initiatives. Not a
fair
single
enough.
State has
and
passed
like,
it from a legislative board.
And that's great, but I think I don't know. I think they're
Sam's
they are
to
they
his
are the
principles of republicanism.
And they're the antithesis of what American government is supposed to be set up as, in my opinion.
A republic.
Exactly, 100%.
That's fair. I do.
That's my hot take.
To
of
me,
the day.
I think that's a check in powers. I think we have these three branches, and I think there's a point.
I mean, how many
where
checks? Like, at what point? We have branches of government check themselves. And if people are unhappy
though.
What's happening, and
they
people
don't.
Need
it's
to get out and
vote.
It's the same
reason the caucus system.
That's why we
it's
vote.
It's the same reason the caucus
Grant,
system's crap, and
we
have election gatherings.
We don't represent ourselves.
Gathering.
We elect people to represent us. That's how it works.
Yeah.
We're not.
Like,
this is not a direct democracy.
But one, look at how
And the
many
founding fathers set us up that way for a reason. That's the way.
Okay,
I'm,
so we're going to go back to original intent? Is that what we're going with?
Please, I don't want to go down this road.
Please.
I don't want to go down
Sam
this road.
Sam likes original intent. Let's
I don't
want to
go down this road.
Acknowledge what he just said.
This is an entire other
and
episode.
And now, the Second Amendment. All right, Samuel.
Not going down this road with you right now.
All right. Anyways, that's pretty much what we had to talk about. Notably, we don't want to breeze past this. Rex Tillerson, Secretary of State, was relieved of his duties
absolutely
today.
Scratch another one off on the Trump bingo card.
Here's what's important. I just need to say this. This isn't just another secretary gone. This isn't just another
Trump executive. It's a secretary of freaking state, man.
This is the fifth in line for taking over the presidency,
absolutely,
right? You've got president, vice president, speaker, president pro tempore, secretary of state. Secretary of State, this was formerly Hillary Clinton. John Kerry? Who was it before Hillary?
It was John Kerry.
And then who was it during Bush?
Colin Powell.
Yeah. This is like literally, guys, this is, I mean, arguably the most important position. You got of the secretaries.
Important cabinet position, yeah.
You have Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense. I mean, is there really even any that are
Attorney General? I don't know.
Yeah, like there's just really not even that many that are important. The rest of them are just definitely like a next tier down.
Right. Education, agriculture, right now.
HUD, all right. that. That's right. secondary yeah. to these handful of really right. important positions. Not only that, what's most important, it's not just that he's another person. It's that Rex Tillerson was criticized heavily by Democrats for being this pocket pick of Trump. He's a former ExxonMobil.
He's part of the swamp.
He's an oil executive.
He's a loyal swamp member.
Yeah, who has this award from Russia. Basically, right. he was like the super pro-Russia guy.
Right.
That's why everyone didn't like him. This guy, pro-Russia guy, comes out and makes all these statements of like, well, we shouldn't just give Russia the free card. They right. probably effed with our elections. Right. Putin pretty much admitted to it. What the hell are we doing? Right. And Trump fired him the next day. Now, I've read into this quite a bit. Most people believe that Rex Tillerson was on track for being fired without the Russia announcement. It wasn't his message he sent out. In fact, he had a trip cut short to come home to D.C., and then he released the Russia statement. So it's more likely that Tillerson knew he was getting fired and decided to speak out using his platform one last time rather than
I've heard reactionary. I've heard contradicting things. Like I read an article today that there was someone leaked something who's on a plane with Rex Tillerson 4 hours before Trump announced that he was being fired.
Right.
So Rex had no idea that he was being fired.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I think it's more likely that he wasn't fired because of any of the Russia announcement.
He's just going to be fired.
If he was going to get fired. And realistically,
Donald
too,
Trump's a maniac, but it's okay.
They've had North Korea issues. They've had Iran. Like any of the really big state issues, they don't agree on. He's been replaced by the CIA head. What's his name?
Mike Pompeo
or something. Anyways.
I don't remember.
This is definitely something that's going to agree with Trump a little bit more. Highly controversial. And then the new CIA chief that's being suggested.
Yeah, Mike Pompeo. Yeah.
The new CIA chief is this female who actually, yes, it sounds good, you know, but...
Dude, there's some dirt on her, man.
Yeah, she
there's
was like...
dirt on her.
She was part of like the torture stuff at Guantanamo Bay. And so there's just some sketchy stuff happening. If there's going to be a reason for Trump to be impeached, like this is, to me, this is the benchmark. Like, and I don't even mean impeachment, regardless of if he holds office for the next 3 years. If I were teaching about Trump in a history class as a history teacher, this will be a benchmark.
Yeah.
This one will get marked. Like, again, he has released a lot of special counsel. He also got rid of, like, just barely, he also got rid of one of his personal assistant.
Yeah.
Those things are secondary. Honestly, we focus on Trump because he's our president right now. Other presidents have fired those people. People have fired the FBI heads. People have, usually not all of those things.
Usually not all those things in 12 months.
Right. And that's what's crazy is Trump, it's all about how fast this is happening.
Right.
If you were to take everything that Trump's done, spread it over his 4 years, it would be controversial, but like
not nearly.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Secretary of State.
It's a big deal.
And it wasn't like a long process of like, oh, Rex wants to leave. We're going to replace him over the next few months. No, it's like, you're fired. Here's who we're announcing. Nikki Haley, the ambassador to the UN, immediately comes out and is like, hey, good choice. We really like Mike Pompeo. She's been famously in contention with Rex Tillerson, which is a big deal, you know, counsel to the UN and Secretary of State.
Butting
those are the two people who need to have their crap together. They're both the two people who represent the United States on the world stage. It's interesting. It's just exhausting to even talk about. Of course.
And yet my girl Betsy DeVos is still there.
Trash.
Out of everyone.
I already tweeted
out
this.
Out of everyone there, she's...
Worst secretary pick. I don't care what anyone
she's
says.
She's horrible.
She
doesn't know anything.
General Mattis,
anything.
Best pick. DeVos,
Mad Dog,
worst pick. Everyone else is in between that. But yeah, the steel tariffs went in. Everyone's freaking out about it.
Absolutely.
Both Lee, Hatch, both
Republicans
basically
are not happy about it. Absolutely, yeah.
Chris Stewart, Bishop, I think almost everyone of the Utah representatives and like have spoken out against it.
Right.
What's his name? Ben Shapiro has came out against. Now he's never been a Trump supporter, but he does have a large following that's conservative. He's not. He's had some rough ones. Milo, definitely a Trump supporter. Ben,
a little bit
less.
You don't think Ben Shapiro voted for Donald Trump?
I don't.
Okay.
To be honest. talked maybe, but regardless, he has been railing. We're talking like hard railing Trump for the last like week and a half since this was announced. Honestly, most people, a lot of people are pissed about the steel tariff, aluminum tariff. It's going to cost the American, I think I saw like the average car will go up $3,000 just from the tariff.
Absolutely insane.
The cost of everything. You're talking aluminum cans, like beer cans, soda cans, cars, plane rides, you name it. Like the cost of everything, steel and aluminum are basic mineral needs. Like this is massive. This is massive. We'll see. He's already put the tariffs in place. Some of the congressional representation has said, screw you. We're going to do what we can in Congress aside to make sure these are never enforced, gotta hope that's including Mike Lee. So,
I don't know, man. Trump really just pissed everyone off besides his own shameless base. I mean, because whatever he does, you know, we'll be okay with them. But I think some other notable news today, there's a special election going on in the Pennsylvania 18th district. Hardcore Trump country, traditionally very conservative. This guy, Rick Saccone, I think is how you pronounce his last name, going up against a Democrat, Connor Lamb. Polls have been back and forth. Democrats should not be anywhere close. Trump himself has visited this district. His son has visited this district. Republicans have poured in millions of dollars into this race. You know, it's just another one of those special elections that gets blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
But I think if Connor Lamb can win this race, I think it shows some serious insights.
I mean, and we were the focus of it a year ago, right?
Right.
Jason Chaffetz leaving a spot. That special election was followed nationwide, even though a Republican was probably going to take it the whole time. So we've been on the side of it. You're right. These special elections, it's a slow news cycle. We're in between real elections, so special elections.
And that's why so much money gets spent. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the flip side, I mean, you look at the Roy Moore situation. That special election was huge, right? Democrats winning one more seat in the Senate did change the balance in the Senate by one, but notably, that's 49 to 51.
Well, that was a huge win. This one doesn't really mean anything, like, in terms of actual substance. It's just a symbolic victory because, as I'm sure you all are aware, like the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, you know, has ordered that the legislature in Pennsylvania needs to redraw their districts, the lines. They rejected Pennsylvania GOP's districts, and the Supreme Court drew their own, very, very advantageous towards Democrats. So this district, Pennsylvania 18th, will not really exist in November when there's another election.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this seat, whoever wins will only be in office for how many months do we have left? 5 months?
Right.
Until the midterms?
Interesting.
And then there's going to...
But that individual, as long as they don't completely screw it up, could potentially keep it, right?
No, like, yeah, but...
Could run for their new district.
Both of these people could potentially be in Congress when the next Congress starts.
Because they live far enough apart in the district.
Right, well, because the district is going to be split up different ways.
Notably, Utah, that's one of the other ballot initiatives that I didn't mention, would be independent redistricting if that gets on the ballot. A third party would come in and do that.
Let's do it.
That's interesting because that isn't a Democratic-led initiative. That is a quite bipartisan initiative
Glad to hear it.
I don't know. There's so much, guys. This news cycle, obviously, it's been 2 weeks, but Parkland teens, this has been the first time that really teens have been able to utilize or been the focus of a gun debate, at least to this degree. There's one, I don't even remember the kid's name, who's notably pro-Second Amendment. He met with Trump last week. The majority of them, of course,
all of them have thousands and thousands of followers on Twitter.
They're all verified on Twitter. Absolutely. Like,
it's crazy.
They've definitely taken this like different national spotlight. Twitter, noticeably, has got rid of a bunch of huge accounts in the last few weeks. Did you hear about that? It's just all these suspensions. Anyone that was stealing tweets or basically like just producing the same crap.
I did hear
girls
about that.
Post just
girls.
I hate
those accounts. Those are the worst.
All gone. At Dory.
Yeah, Dory's gone. I saw that today. Dory is gone.
You've seen these accounts. Yeah. If you're on Twitter, you've seen these accounts. They're all gone. I didn't realize this
was so beneficial for Twitter.
They were talking about what is called, there's a thing called TweetDeck. It's an app that I actually used to use. It was essentially just a third party Twitter application back in the day when I used to use the computer because Twitter Online sucked at the time.
Right.
But TweetDeck lets you like kind of play the system. Like you can schedule tweets. You can a lot of stuff you can do now on Twitter, but before you couldn't. And like you can bring in five different hashtags at the same time and compare what's happening. But one of the things you could do is basically steal tweets and get like a shiz ton of follow for follows. Yeah. So these people were faking followerships. That'll happen. They also announced that they're changing how verification happens. You and I could be verified in a year. They're trying to get it more to basically what Facebook has, so that every account is tied to a human being, even if you have five accounts. You can have more than one. It's not like Facebook where you can only have one and it has to be your true name. Right. You can call it at Girl Things or at Dory. Like, it's not that you have to claim it. It's just that it has to be tied to you. Like, they have to verify that there's a human being behind the seat. It's trying to get rid of a lot of the hate, a lot of the negativity on Twitter.
Oh, the Russian bots.
And it would basically, like, if I suspend one of your accounts, all of it, all of your other accounts are getting suspended.
Interesting.
It's not really clear. Like, for example, I run Alpha Sig as well. I'm not so much anymore, but Chas. Yeah. You know, there's five or six people behind those.
Run several accounts as well.
So it's hard to know exactly how that would play out. But the point is, they want verification to not be this like elitist thing. Because right now, verified just means like
you're a celebrity.
Twitter's got behind you. Right. Yeah. And usually, I mean, it makes sense if you're a celebrity, like an actual person in an actual movie. Like if you show up on IMDb, I get it. You should be verified. Right. But like some of these Parkland teams, and I'm not saying anything about the political side of it, but there's been certain cases like Ken Bone, like these random people who like get famous for 15 minutes and they get verified. And then there's like people who are like state legislators and they're like, I'm definitely the actual state legislator and I'm not verified. Like, why can't
I? You and I could probably fake.
I'm an elected politician and you can't.
You and I could probably fake a Twitter account for Lyle Hilliard and get 2,000 followers and people could believe that it was us and not him.
But I mean, there should be some process, right? Like, if Lyle Hilliard's office calls, there should be a number of verified. You know what I mean? Like, I think there should be a better process. That's happening. I don't know, dude. We've been talking. It's 50 minutes. I don't want to bore you guys. There's a lot of things happening. Please pay attention.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week. Chas Week is in 2 weeks, March 26th to the 30th. We'll talk about it a little bit more next week. But look for tacos. Look for free food. Look for Slam
Chas
Toe
Trivia.
At night. Look for cookies.
Chas Trivia.
There's a lot of sweet stuff.
Mitt Romney will be on campus tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Gather
that is
signatures.
Important to notice.
If you're a Mitt Romney fan, go get a signature. Otherwise, hashtag Jenny for Utah.
even if you're for Jenny, like, just go meet him. He's probably going to be your senator.
Just call him. Just call him. Just ask him how Massachusetts is doing. That's all you got to do. Shameless plug. SIGEP is having our philanthropy week next week. Proceeds will benefit Dust Buddies, USU. Great organization. Please come by. We're
SIGEP got four out of their six.
We did. We have four
winning
brothers who are now members of USUSA. It was a good week
Alpha
for
SIG
us.
Has zero. If you're listening, you're the shitbacks. Thanks. It's my own organization.
Anyway, moving on.
Wait, one last thing I want to say.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this, there's a good chance you understand what USUSA is. In the next 2 months, all the applications for Government Relations Council, Chas Council, Business Council, you name it, are going to go out. Some of them, SAA and service, they've kind of already gone through, at least for the director positions.
Right.
But look out. Get involved. Stay involved. I know a lot of people are involved this year, not planning on it next year. Just stay on one. Get on Chas Council.
No.
There's not that much of a commitment to be on a college council. Get on a science council. Get on education, engineering, wherever you're at. Stay involved with this university. It makes all the difference in the world for mental health, for everything else.
Absolutely.
Do something.
Join GRC specifically.
Yeah.
Apps. We'll tweet out the app from our
Twitter. If you can
quote
Twitter. Like 10 episodes, Sam probably will put you on GRC.
Honestly, here's for all listeners. If you can point out a specific episode and give me a synopsis of that episode from our podcast, that will give you a significant step up in the interview. Just throwing that out there. But,
all right. Anyways, we love you all. Please tweet at us. Tell us what we should do. Tell us who the new host should be. Tell us what you think we should talk about, or if you want to be on. We've probably only got 4 or 5 episodes left in the school year. So we want to talk about what you want to talk about.